Good morning and welcome to all of you on this beautiful Sunday morning. Now, I had a birthday this past Thursday. I had a birthday. I turned 39 years old. 39 is interesting. It's interesting because the next number is 40. And as I discussed with someone else, you know, I feel like when you're in your 30s, even though you're not supposed to, that when you're in your 30s, you know, you can still not have life put together. But by God, when you're 40, you should probably have something figured out. Although I'll probably say that about the 40s when I'm about to turn 50 anyway. And maybe I'll get it figured out by the time I'm 90. Who knows? But I know that birthdays keep on coming. Now, when I was younger, boy, I couldn't wait for a birthday. I remember when I was, about to become a teenager and turn 13. Woo, you know. I'm going to be 13. And of course, as soon as I was 13, what was I waiting for next? I was waiting for 15, because 15 is when I get my learner's permit. And after that, I was waiting for 16, because then I could drive on my own. 18, because then I could vote. 21, because then I could do other things, which I won't mention. But then it started slowing down after that, in terms of my excitement, that is. I started to say, well, you know, 25 is good. Maybe I can stop here. I think that's fine. But no, kept marching on, 26, 27, 28. I remember when I turned 29, my wife woke me up that morning and said, "Hun, just think, you got 354 days of your 20s left." I still remember that, some 10 years later now. And I know as I get older and older, I will be looking forward less and less to the birthdays coming up. Now, wise people that have lived longer than I have told me that it is just a number. And I've seen that. I've seen some 50 and 60-year-olds that look like they're 90, and I've seen some 90-year-olds that are doing more than I am. So in some sense, it is a number. But I'm not really here to talk about birthdays as much as I am to talk about anticipation for the future. We're always anticipating the future. We are always focused on it. We are often focused on the past, I think. You know, sometimes there's things we can't move beyond. Sometimes there's things we can't forget. But I think, honestly, the future is what really preoccupies a lot of our minds. We think about, what are we going to do today? What are we going to do tomorrow? We have all sorts of things to worry about. How's the economy doing? How's my job doing? Am I going to be able to finish that degree? Am I going to be able to get into the school that I want to get into? Am I going to be able to get a date with that beautiful woman I keep trying to talk to? Is that date that I'm going to have with that beautiful woman going to lead to a second one? So many things we are focused on. And yet rarely we are focused on the right now. I remember when I was doing my hike, and for those that don't know, that might be visiting today, I had a sabbatical where I did a 3-month hike. And part of that was a lot of waiting. I did a lot of waiting. In fact, I did more waiting than I did hiking. As I've told some of you, I would have to get up really early in the morning because it would be too hot after about 11 a.m. So I'd get up about 2:30 maybe, be on the trail by 4, hike for about 7 hours, get to where I needed to get before 11 a.m. because it's too hot after then. And I would be in the campground, fix myself lunch, and take a shower. That was it. It was about noon, 12:30. I had about 7 more hours before it got dark. What was I going to do? Now, thankfully, I brought this little iPod with me. So I listened to some radio and some music. And I probably would have hiked. I was in a lot of beautiful areas, but of course I'd done quite enough walking by that point. And so I did a lot of sitting. I did a lot of sitting, looking around. And boy, that was hard. I think that was actually perhaps the hardest part. Especially since I'm such an extroverted person. I like talking to people. That's why I'm up here talking, because I enjoy it. And it really got to me after a while. It really got to me. And I would think to myself, boy, people probably think I'm weird because I would just be sitting on this bench with nothing to do. Everybody would be talking to everybody, you know, or going here, or going there, or thinking about the next thing that they had to do, thinking about their barbecue or their family event. And here is that weird dude sitting on the bench over by the bathrooms all day long. What in God's name is he doing? And I sat there, by the way, because it was the only bench in shade, which, believe me, when you're hiking that much and in the sun that much, you look for shade. Shade is, dear Lord, thank you for shade. That's all I got to say. And it really struck me that I don't think that we spend a lot of time thinking about the present moment. Now, our passage from 2 Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonica, they wanted to know what was going to happen. They were very concerned. Paul has several writings when he's writing to them that deal with their anticipation. They're wanting to know, when is Jesus going to come back? They want to know what's going to happen to the people that have already died before Jesus has come back. Why isn't he here yet? We're thinking about it. We're focusing on it. And you know, I think that it's really kind of early in Paul's ministry because Paul has some kind of grandiose ideas about what's going to happen. And I think he's just trying to do what any pastor does, especially a new pastor, because he thinks that there needs to be an answer. After I've been a pastor now for a while, sometimes in difficult questions, I've learned to say, that's just the way it is. I don't understand it any more than you do, but I know God is with you. Whereas when I was younger, I got to have some sort of answer because they're coming to me for that. And that was the same way with Paul. And so we hear this language about, you know, you got to wait, that we don't know what's going to happen. This person is going to come. There'll be a final sort of struggle. And we don't know who this person is, by the way. There's all sorts of theories about who this person that he speaks about in the scripture passage is. One theory is that perhaps it's a Roman emperor. Another theory is that perhaps it's some, you know, antichrist figure. We don't know. But the point is, Paul is saying things have to happen. And we don't know when those things are going to happen. And furthermore, those things are in God's control. And so for me, when I look at that and I think to myself about the things that I worry about the future, about, you know, what's going on with my wife's business, about, you know, the church, about all the things that are happening, perhaps I need to take a little bit of Paul's advice and just know that it's all in God's hands. Things are going to happen when they happen. And instead of being so focused on it, maybe I need to be focused on the present, as hard as that is. Now, you know, it's interesting because I carry one of these old-fashioned phones. You know, I got it. My niece and nephews like to, you know, talk about the ancient technology that I'm carrying around. I don't got me a smartphone. I got me one of these here flip phones, you know. Everybody comes in with their smartphone. I say, does your phone do this? Listen to it. Oh, right there. Does your phone do that? It sure doesn't. It just sits there like a brick on a table. And part of the reason I do that, it's not because I'm cheap, although I am kind of cheap. Part of the reason that I do that is because I don't like a lot of the technology that comes with the new phones. Now, my wife has one. She uses it for business, and I understand that. But I don't like it because I know that I'd just be tempted to look down at it. And tempted to focus on some news story or perhaps what email has come in or what Facebook post has come in. And in thinking about all this waiting business and the challenge of waiting and the challenge of being present in the moment, I've thought to myself, do we look at these things because we're really that curious about what's going on, because it's really that important, or do we look at it because we're afraid of the current moment? Perhaps we are worried about things. Perhaps we don't know what the future will bring. And because we are afraid of those things, we stare down at that little screen to distract us from the fact that we live lives of uncertainty, from the fact that we don't know what's going to happen, from the fact that we've got something pressing on our mind that we want to take off of it. The present moment is very hard to live in Because it is the present. And because it's not the future. And because we don't know what the future will bring. But as people of God, as people of faith, we pray and we know that God gives us hope for the future. And Job, boy, I could spend a lot of time going on about Job, and perhaps we should do a book study about Job. Job is a complex book from the Old Testament. Some people see it as a very dark comedy about this guy Job who's walking around and thinks he's all that, and then all of a sudden gets everything stripped from his life, and he has to really rely and trust on his faith. Some see it as a morality tale about faith and having faith and the importance about it. It's complicated and fascinating for those that aren't 100% familiar with it. What it is about this guy that really does have everything. And there seems to be a wager, perhaps, between God and somebody else about, you know, will he be faithful if he has everything stripped from him? And so he has everything taken from him, and he's made fun of, and people say, what did he do to deserve this? And yet, in spite of all that, now, he needs a little coaxing from God because he's a little uncertain to begin with. But once God comes down and sets him straight, he has faith. And in this part of Job, what we are looking at is we are looking at him learning to really accept that faith. It's not just about believing in God, but it's about living it out. And one of the ways that he can live it out is to trust and know that God will be with him no matter what, and that he will see God. And that is what truly gets me through, at least, times of uncertainty. Times when I don't know what's going on. And what a blessing that is. And furthermore, what a blessing it is if you truly can have that faith of hope where you can set the future aside and say, God is going to be with me no matter what. No matter what goes on in this world, no matter what goes on in the craziness coming in front of us, no matter what goes on with the economy or our job, that God is going to be there with us. And furthermore, there's little we can likely do about it because God is in control. And if you can have that hope, if you can have that hope, then you can enjoy the blessing that God has given you right now. I know all of you, including myself, have come into this sanctuary full of worries. I know it's true. Every single one of you. But right now, in this moment, there's such beauty around us. There's all these wonderful, look at all these great kids we had today. We got Bob and Norma here. Amen to that. We got beautiful weather. What is that? This is the smell of fried chicken I smell downstairs. We've got God. We've got each other. No matter what tomorrow holds today, right now, in this moment, it is a blessing given by God. Tomorrow can wait. Tomorrow will be tomorrow. That is one lesson I learned while being that weird guy sitting on the bench for 7 hours. That tomorrow will be tomorrow. The trail tomorrow will be the trail tomorrow. And even though I don't think I have much to do, there's beauty all around. God is always present in our lives. And if I can just set everything else aside and enjoy it, then I will truly see the blessing that is my life. Amen.